Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Systemair First Quarter 2015 Financial Results Call on the 10th of June 2015. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press star zero on your telephone for operator assistance. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future financial performance of Systemair. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intend, will, could, may, or might, the negative of such terms or similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and competitive environment, market change in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Systemair and its operations. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Evgeny Chukov. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and everyone, welcome to our first quarter 2015 financial results conference call. On the line with us, we have Mikhail Shamolin, our President and CEO, and Vselad Rozanov, Senior Vice President and CFO of the group. We have a presentation on our website containing the financial results information, and you can find this at www.systemair.ru. I will now hand over the call to Mikhail for his comment.
Thank you all for joining us today to discuss Systemair's first quarter financial results. We are pleased to report a strong start to 2015 with an encouraging set of Q1 financial results coupled with consistent execution of our strategic objectives. The deconsolidation of Bashneft changed the landscape of Systemair's investment portfolio, but it remains well-balanced and resilient to external factors. Approximately 85% of Systemair's asset value is concentrated in defensive sectors and only moderately affected by macroeconomic headwinds. Furthermore, our cyclical industries represent a core part of the Russian economy and are supported by the government. This includes a wide range of import substitution programs and subsidized project financing. In the current environment, our plan is to leverage Systemair's successful experience in managing multiple economic downturns to gain market share for existing companies, to restructure our portfolio and expand into new businesses. In the first quarter, Systemair Group revenues grew by 17.1% year-on-year to 168 billion rubles, and our adjusted OEBDA increased by 6.5% year-on-year to 45 billion rubles. Our largest asset, NTS, maintains its leadership position in Russia, both in terms of its core mobile business, and is delivering the fastest growth in data traffic revenues, which reached 26% in the first quarter. NTS is well positioned to further expand into the most promising segment of telecom universe, and we expect to see a sustainable dividend flow from it in the future. Importantly, despite being our largest asset, MTS was not the largest contributor to the group's growth in this quarter. 9 out of our 13 major consolidated companies increased their revenues. The organic expansion of Detski Mir, RTI's successful business development, and our acquisition of Segezha Group made a significant contribution to Systemair's double-digit growth rate. MTS revenue share now equals 60% of total revenues, while the share of other assets increased to 40% from 32% a year ago. I would like to highlight that pulp and paper assets, which we acquired in 2014, have already demonstrated their real value. Its strong management team, supported by Sistema's experience in strategic turnaround, delivered a substantial OIBDA margin growth in the first quarter. These improvements were driven not only by export sales, but also by a clear optimization plan and increased production of plywood. Our retail business, Детский мир, also successfully navigated market challenges and achieved a 33% year-on-year increase in revenues. It reported 13.2% year-on-year growth in like-for-like sales, while its OIBDA margin expanded year-on-year to 5.7%. Детский мир's expansion plan is closely linked to its efficiency. Its SG&A to revenue ratio reduced year-on-year from 32 to 30%. Another area of improvement efficiency is Envision, reducing its OIBDA loss from 1.8 billion rubles to only 100 million in the first quarter, thanks to 17% decrease in its SG&A expenses. We were also pleased to see that in the first quarter, 5 out of 9 circles reached break-even at SSTL. While the telecom sector remains highly competitive, SSTL managed to double its revenues year-on-year and further expand its data business. A key event of the past few months was the signing of agreements with Ural Invest, in accordance with which Sistema is entitled to receive net of 55.3 billion rubles, represented by cash, financial instruments, and deposits. We already received 8.4 billion rubles in the first quarter, while the remaining deposits will be received as they mature in 2016. Together with certain inflow from our subsidiaries, this amount secures Sistema's liquidity profile and financial power to invest in Russia. Looking ahead, in 2015, we will continue to work on further optimizing our portfolio structure by focusing on larger assets, seek valuable new acquisitions, and consider divestments where appropriate. I will now turn the call to Всеволод Розанов to discuss our financial results in more detail. Всеволод, over to you.
Thank you, Mikhail, and thank you all for joining us today. I would like to start with the fact that this is the first set of results the group is reporting based on international financial reporting standards and in Russian rubles. We reported a good set of results with a double-digit revenue growth year-on-year. Our performance was supported by the organic growth of our portfolio and reinforced by the recent consolidation of Segezha Group. 9 out of the group's 13 major consolidated assets achieved top-line growth. Despite a seasonally weak first quarter, the group's adjusted EBITDA increased by 6.5% year-on-year, mostly due to the consolidation of Segezha Group, as well as growing efficiency at Детский мир and significantly reduced losses at Envision, which is part of the RTI Group. In March 2015 and after the reporting period in April 2015, Sistema signed agreements with Ural Invest LLC, in accordance with which it is entitled to receive approximately 55.3 billion rubles of cash assets and financial instruments, net of social investments amounting to 6.3 billion rubles. In accordance with the agreement signed in March, Sistema received the right to claim 48.7 billion rubles of financial assets, including accrued interest. These assets were included in Sistema first quarter financial statements at their fair value of 35 billion rubles, net of social investments we committed to, with a corresponding gain of 35 billion rubles recognized in Sistema first quarter results. The fair value of the asset is lower than their nominal value due to insufficient quality of some of these assets. After the close of the reporting period, Sistema signed another agreement for additional compensation of 12.9 billion rubles. Overall, these amounts are mainly represented by deposits, a larger portion of which will mature in 2016. The major part of the amounts claimed by from Ural Invest is presented within the non-current assets section of Sistema balance sheet due to the some legal restrictions on use of these assets, which have been removed after the end of the reporting period. Now let me take you through the group's debt and liquidity position. The group's total debt position increased by 6.5% quarter-on-quarter to 492 billion rubles due to the higher debt at MTS level. The share of long-term debt in the group's total debt position increased to 82% from 75% in the corresponding period of the last year. From the duration perspective, we consider debt position at the group level as comfortable, reflecting the strict management of our liabilities. However, the share of the ruble-denominated loans decreased to 58% in our debt portfolio from 66% a year ago as a result of ruble depreciation. We appreciate the risk of the existing currency mix of our debt portfolio and address the risk through conversion of the group cash balances into foreign exchange, as well as hedging of future ruble cash flows, such as dividend flow to the corporate center into foreign currencies. At the end of the first quarter, our cash position at the corporate level amounted to 29.7 billion rubles, including 8.4 billion rubles received from Euroinvest. Debt at the corporate level amounted to 68.5 billion rubles, of which 88% now takes the form of long-term loans, compared to 51% a year ago. We plan to repay 6.7 billion rubles by the end of the 2015. In the reporting quarter, we placed 10 billion rubles of unconvertible interest-bearing bonds. Despite challenging market conditions, there was a strong demand for the bonds. This bond placement was the first transaction among corporate borrowers in the domestic market, among corporate borrowers in the BB credit rating category since the beginning of 2014, and the first one in the corporate segment in 2015. This successful placement demonstrates the attractiveness of Sistema's securities and investors' continued assurance in our investment strategy. The working capital at the corporate level is positive, standing at 11 billion rubles as at the end of the first quarter 2015. Till the end of the year, we will receive around 7 billion rubles in cash from the assets claimed from Euroinvest and about 20 billion of dividends from MTS and other subsidiaries. The total receivable amount covers group management expenses, all necessary debt repayments, and investment needs at the corporate level till the end of 2015. Still, with $777 million settlement of the Sistema's potential obligation on the SSTL shares, put option agreement with the system, with the Russian Federation, which becomes exercisable from March of 2016, our liquidity position may be at some risk in 2016. Bearing in mind this risk, the group's management has started negotiations with the holder of the put option of possible ways to soften the terms of the agreement. Those measures, along with the cost optimization program at the corporate level, which already resulted in 36% year-on-year drop in SG&A in the first quarter of 2015, should reduce the cash out from the corporation and provide necessary liquidity basis for the next year. You can find more information on our debt maturity profile, the group's financial result, and individual company breakdowns in more detail in our presentation and press release published on our website. I would like to thank you for your attention and hand the call over to Evgeny.
Thank you, Vitaly. Operator, we're now ready to take questions.
Thank you. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press star 2. There will be a short pause whilst participants register for a question. Thank you. Our first question comes from Ivan Kim of VTB Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Could you please comment on two things? Firstly, on any progress with SSTL, because obviously there were articles that you are in talks with Reliance there, and I appreciate that you probably can't comment on that, but as you promised some you know, progress on Indian consolidation, maybe you have something to tell us. And then secondly, on Rosimushestvo put option with regards to your SSTL stake for 2016, March, I think, 2016. Is there any also progress on probably restructuring that? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. This is Mikhail Shamulin speaking. On the Indian business, we are negotiating with actually several parties for potential M&A transaction involving our SSTL business, and I believe that fairly soon we'll be coming out with an official statement commenting on this. At this point, I'm not at liberty to reveal the details, but I can assure you that we're making some progress down this path. And as far as the put option restructuring, again, we are in negotiations with with various ministries, not only Rosimushtso, but also Ministry of Finance. And I think we're making progress, and there is likelihood that we will be able to restructure the put option in such a way that it will make us financially comfortable and not burdensome for our cash flow.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Kazbeki of Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I was just wondering if you can give us maybe a bit of color of what's going on with RDI and also the MetC. Clearly RDI got very good, so to say, jump in the first quarter of this year. I mean, should we look at this as a sustainable flow of the revenues? I mean, what is it driven by? How should we look at that on the defense side specifically? And on MetC, I mean, clearly you're building clinics, I think, this year. Also, you have the, so to say, you lost the contract with the Moscow government. So what do you see, so to say, as a business development and the type of the revenue growth for the entire 2015-16? Maybe just some, so to say, color on that one. And the last one on pulp and paper, do you expect there to see any substantial increase in the CapEx? What's your expectation on the cash needs of that business?
Yes. What was the first question?
MetC and RTI.
Yeah, starting with RTI. RTI, yes, we believe is quite sustainable. RTI is doing a very good job, especially in the conditions where the imports have been reduced substantially, not only in the defense part, but also in the microelectronic part. RTI has gotten new contracts for its RFID chips and RFID-enabled products such as the metro, payment cards and credit cards and similar applications. So we believe this is quite sustainable, and there are a couple of new areas where RTI is breaching in with its technology and know-how, and we believe the segment is going to remain attractive in Russia for quite some time. MetC this year is a difficult year from EBITDA perspective. EBITDA growth this year, we don't really expect EBITDA of MetC to grow this year because of two reasons: because of the government contract, as we discussed earlier, and also because of the investment in opening two new facilities. One facility is a big clinic diagnostic center with a small hospital of 20 beds, which we should be opened sort of late August, early September, and then a pediatric clinic which is being rebuilt on Pyrogovskaya Street. I don't know what this address tells anything to anyone. So this year is an investment year for MetC, and we expect revenues from the new facilities to start coming in 2016, and also we are actively replacing the Moscow City government contract with commercial patients, and that's also taken time, but market basically in Russia presents a unique opportunity because competition in the private medical healthcare is simply not here. And I've been to many countries myself personally, including Turkey, South Africa, of course Europe and the US, and I can just see how different the hospitals that that are built up to modern standards, how different those hospitals are from anything and everything that exists in Russia. And we truly believe that demand is going to be there, and we are working actively to build those facilities. And the third question was on Siegerza, on the investment program, I believe. Investment program of Siegerza can continue generating the EBITDA that it generates with a relatively small support capex of around, let's say, 1 billion rubles a year. And everything above this 1 billion rubles a year depends on how aggressive we want to tap into new markets and expand our revenue and EBITDA base, because we're talking about building new plywood facilities, we're talking about expanding the production capabilities of paper-making machines. We're talking about improving improving the pulp making process to increase its energy efficiency and therefore save the cost. So basically, we have a wide range of options that totals up to 45 or even 50 billion rubles that we can pick and choose what and when we're going to do, and this is exactly what the team is doing right now. We're sort of approving capital expenditure project by project, and we have clear criteria for payback, you know, given the current reality in Russia with the refinancing rates and the cost of lending.
Okay, thank you very much.
Alex, just one point to add to that answer is that the margins that you saw in the first quarter in Segezha, which were around 27%, that's not guidance for the rest of the year. They had a very strong first quarter, so we suspect margins to be a little bit less in the quarters to come. But in any case, margins have increased substantially since the time when we acquired the asset.
You're also helped by the currency, I presume, so... Yeah, thank you.
Precisely.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Denis Derushkin of BAML. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks a lot for your presentation. I have actually one question. So some time ago, you've published the new strategy, which is mainly focused on investments in Russia. But my question relates to potential investments abroad. So do you consider any investments right now outside of Russia? And if yes, could you please elaborate a little bit on the geographical location and sectors where you see some M&A opportunities? Thanks.
We are looking at things episodically on the opportunistic basis, but do not have a coherent strategy for international expansion, therefore no clear targets or no clear goals. We believe that our area of expertise is in Russia, and you know that's where we understand how and why now we should be able to make money. Abroad, it's opportunistically. Like if we want to buy some hotel in some unique location for some reason, we might consider it, invest in an apartment complex somewhere. Again, I'm not saying that we're investing, but potentially something that we might consider with the investment size of, $20-30 million maximum. So it's just to give you an example of what kind of thing we potentially could do, because in general we have, for instance, very, very, very big interest and appetite for real estate. But nothing of scale to be mentioned at this point.
Yes, it's clear. Thanks.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Alexander Benkorovic of Okerti Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. I have a follow-up question on real estate. So we've seen that you have dramatically increased last year the real estate under management. And can you please like share with us the next sort of a key milestones for your real estate projects? So when do you expect commissioning of the main developments and what sort of the impact that should have on your cash flows? Thank you.
Well, we actually started from a very simple concept in our real estate. We bought out altogether around 250 buildings or locations or potential construction sites from MGTS, which is a Moscow city telephone landline telephone monopoly, which belongs to MTS. And the reason we were able to buy out those buildings is because MGTS was moving from copper technology to fiber technology. Excuse me?
Alexander, can you go on the mute because there's some background
noise? Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'll do.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the idea the idea was to buy out those buildings and start demolishing them and building either apartment complexes or hotels or office buildings instead. And that's what our one of our real estate companies called Leader Invest is doing. They currently have I think 9 projects under construction, and they have another 20 projects for next year in their portfolio for potential development. Business model is very robust because we're not investing a lot of money up front for acquisition of construction sites. And since every building that we're putting up is not very big in size. It's on average 8,000 square meters, 10,000 square meters, 12,000 square meters. Each project has minimal economic risk, even given the current economic trends and the downturn. And we can do them relatively quickly, generate cash flow, and IRR on those projects is above 40%. So we expect a very quick kind of kickback on the cash flow. One caveat, of course, cash flow comes from individuals who buy apartments, but before the building is actually built and licensed and registered as a building with the authorities, then we cannot recognize those sales. They are recognized as advance. Therefore, we can only get our hands on this cash once the buildings have been fully completed. We started our construction in 2013, so first buildings should be coming up to be completely finished and sold in 2016, and that's when we starting to get the real cash flow. And the second piece of real estate business is called business real estate or business недвижимость, and that company took part of the former telephone stations that could be used as primarily office spaces as is with minimal renovation and refurbishing. So that company is generating cash from the rental model. They're renting this real estate, and Leader Invest is actually a true developer. Of course, we have another project called Nagatina, which we acquired back in 2012, and that potentially is another 500,000 square meters, of which 300,000 square meters are apartments and 200,000 commercial real estate. Now, that is 15 minutes from Kremlin, a new potentially very attractive area that we're developing. And then there are a couple of projects here and there that we are co-investing with partners. But the idea is to have on average around 1 million square meters under development, kind of on the annual basis consistently. And create a business which would be worth a couple of billion dollars.
Well, if I may add one, we expect to cash into Sistema starting this year in the amount of less than 1 billion rubles a year and increasing year by year. But this business is not requiring any funding from Sistema, and the returns we made some investments 2 years ago, and the returns are expected to come starting from this year.
So great. Can I have another question, also very quickly, on your agriculture plans? Because recently I think you announced the plan to increase the land bank under like management up to 1 million hectares. So can you please a little bit elaborate whether you see real opportunity for the deals in agriculture, and so who are like the sellers? Do you plan like to buy big chunks of land, or you're going to buy like a small farms to consolidate them then into big like chunks of the land, or I mean, what sort of a strategy you have? Do you plan to focus still on the sovereign regions of Russia, or you can also look at the like Black Earth region or like Altai region where there are also like good production facilities? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your question. Of course, we do have some appetite to increase our land bank to 300,000 hectares, even half a million hectares. Now, of course, the issue is how to acquire a good quality land at a reasonable price. And there simply isn't that chunk of land available that you can simply go out and buy in that kind of quantity. So we're looking at a number of deals, you know, deal by deal, and we're negotiating each and every case because the economics of this agricultural business, particularly wheat production, depends to the greatest extent, probably the most important factor is the quality of the land and the fertility of the land. And that's why we are focusing, first of all, in the south of Russia region, Krasnodar in particular, and that's where we're looking for the most of new acquisitions. As far as black earth farming is concerned, Altai, Kazakhstan, and similar areas, we're getting actually a lot of offers to buy huge chunks of land there. But the problem is that once you reach a certain threshold, let's say once your land generates less than 4 tons per hectare of wheat on average, you are entering a very, very risky zone. And if you are buying land that is producing lower than 2 tons per hectare, which is the case for most all of the land in Kazakhstan and in sort of central part of Russia, and then you're running into a very risky business model because you can have out of 5 years in Krasnodar you have 1 year which is not so good, 3 years which or 2 years which are average, and 2 years which are exceptionally good. And in Black Earth or even in Rostov, you know, if you're talking about south or if you're talking about north of Rostov region and not the south, you can have, you know, 2 or 3 years being bad out of 5, and then you're just basically bust because you have to invest in the working capital. And given the cost of money now in Russia, this working capital can eat up all of the EBITDA, and you very quickly fall into debt. You can't meet your debt payments, and you're basically bankrupt. And that's, we've seen many agricultural businesses come through that sort of cycle. So we have to stay very careful and very focused on the quality of the land. And, of course, the quality land is always expensive and is very difficult to buy. So we're moving at maybe a slower pace than we would have wanted to. But it is my personal belief that quality here should stand in front of speed and aggression.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Stas Kondratiev of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for the presentation. I have two questions. Actually, three questions. First is a follow-up on EBITDA margin in Segezha. As I remember, you were expecting margin to be close to 14-15%, which is close to global peers. And in that sense, should we read the solid margin in the first quarter as a sign that you are really on track to achieve higher than 15% EBITDA margin in Segezha for this year and onwards? Or is it just a pure seasonal thing and do you still expect around 50% margin there? Second and third questions relate to your cash management. Can you say how much of the cash you are comfortable with to hold on the balance sheet purely for M&A opportunities after meeting all obligations paying dividends? And lastly, what is your target leverage level for the holding, i.e. in terms of holding debt to dividend flow? If you could share this, that would be helpful.
Holding debt to dividend.
Yeah. Thanks for your question. On Segezha, we believe 20% margin figure should be the target, and then 20% should be attainable under current circumstances in Russia. It could be higher, but I wouldn't be too aggressive. 20%, I think, is something that the team should be able to deliver. And on the debt questions, I refer to Mikhail Rozenov.
Yeah, thank you, Mikhail. Thank you, Stas. On the cash for M&A, we kind of have a certain internal guideline for that, and that assumes that we should have approximately 20 billion rubles as a reserve in cash. In addition, of course, we have certain debt capacity. We have credit lines approved with reputable banks, and this is something which we set at this level. As for the corporate center, as for the corporate center parameters on the net debt to dividends or debt to dividends, we have certain metrics from one of the credit agencies on this. As per them, it should be below 4.3. We are well below this number, and we are feeling quite comfortable with this. And ideally, we plan to decrease debt to EBITDA level both on the group level, which now stands at 2.8, and we usually aim at 2.5 and below. However, the duration profile is very comfortable, and hence the actions towards this decrease might be quite cautious, I would say.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Dia Ibragimova of Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for taking my question. I had two questions going back to India, please. Could you please help understand the regulatory environment and how does your comment on potential M&A deals and how that potentially could result in official statement fairly soon. Would that be contingent on regulatory environment changing? In particular, there are talks that the spectrum sharing trading guidelines could be introduced, or could the deals happen without changes in the regulations? That's my first question. And my second question relates to your OIBDA break-even guidance that you have given a few years back. I just wanted to check with you whether those are still relevant, whether you SSTL is still aiming to break even on OIBDA level this year. Thank you.
First part of your question on the M&A activity and dependency on the government regulation. Short answer, the kind of deals that we are considering right now do not depend on any changes in legislation and could be closed within the existing set of regulations. So we're not limited. And we're not waiting for new regulation to be adapted. Of course, if it happens, which I cannot guarantee, you know, we're in the process of talking to various people, but you know, to define exactly what will or will not happen at this point, I cannot. And as far as break even is concerned, we will be very close. I cannot guarantee that we will reach it. And the key reason for that is because frequency, the third carrier and the fourth carrier that we wanted to acquire early this year, the price for those carriers was so high, and we were not able to put all the frequency in the contingent spectrum, and that's why we decided not to go to auctions, and that is the key reason why we are not completely meeting the targets that we thought we would meet.
Okay.
But again, we are talking about a loss which is many, many times smaller than in the past. So on the overall kind of Sistema balance sheet, it does not make a big difference.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Igor Gontrov of BCS Financial Group. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. I have a couple of questions on the corporate center. One is on the SG&A expenses of the corporate center. You've shown about 38% decline in the SG&A expenses of the corporate center year on year. Can you please comment if this is a structural decline or this is related to some kind of seasonality in the payments? and what, how should be approximated going forward? Should we think that the corporate costs, SG&A costs for the corporate center should decline by similar amount for the year, or should it be probably a lower amount percentage-wise? That's question number one. And question number two relates to the dividends and to net cash, net debt position. Taking into account the reminders of the funds from RAL Invest and dividend from NTS, which is to arrive in the second half of the year, you probably will be in the net cash position at the corporate level, corporate center level. Do you plan to, do you consider at all paying any intermediary dividend in this circumstance? Thank you.
Okay, I'm just going to make a couple quick statements, and Stelos will go into details on the SG&A issue. We've done some structural reductions in our headquarters in terms of quantity of employees. We reduced the number of people in headquarters, and we reduced a number of corporate expenditures. So it has a structural effect. I cannot give you exact numbers, but it does, for a very large part, it is structural. And as far as intermediary dividend, there are no such plans for the moment, but our cash flow, expected cash flow, is very strong. We do not expect any issues with our liquidity, and we want to keep our investment kind of capability, investment capital, at a level close to 1,750,000,000 to 1 billion US. That's kind of our target. And that includes, of course, all the streams from dividends, the Ural Invest, and also potential asset sales or IPO opportunities that we keep in mind. And so, comment on the SG&A and...
Yeah, so basically, year-on-year developments in SG&A can be counted as lasting. They mostly go, as Mikhail said, they mostly derive from the decrease of headcount and compensation at the corporate level, as well as decrease of the LTI accruals. We discussed the target number of, say, approximately sub-$100 million, or say less than 5 billion rubles, for all the costs related to the running the corporate center of Sistema, barring the compensation to the management for monetization. So we are well within this target, and this is something which we are comfortable with a number going forward. And the second question was, on the dividend, I think I will note that.
Yeah.
That I think is fine.
Thank you very much.
If there are no further questions, I think we can finish this call.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.